My scripture this morning is found in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 16, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It seems to be my favorite translation. This command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you, and it's not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey. It's not kept beyond the sea, so far away you must ask who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey. No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. How many's ever seen the show Live PD? I used to watch that. My favorite show, my wife and I would sit there and watch that for hours and hours on end. We loved watching that. It was a sad day when they decided to take it off the air, and I won't get into the political stuff or the society stuff, but it's interesting as I watch this show. I watch men and women make choices that are not good because of the end result. Now, here are some of the choices that they would make. Police officer would say, "Come out or I will send in the dog and you will be bit." To me, that's a pretty easy thing to do. Come out, you know, those doggies are big. But you know what? Some of them didn't come out. And guess what? They got bit. Another choice I see on this show is to stop or I will tase you. Now, if you know what a taser is, it sends these little metal probes on wires that send this incredible amount of electricity through your body. I used to work with electricity, and I've been shocked several times because it's just a hazard. And if anybody's been shocked, knows what that feels like. I don't think I would choose to do that. But guess what? They didn't stop. And they got tased. Yeah, they're simple choices. It's almost like the Staples button. Man, that was easy. I'm just going to stop. But some of our choices are not so easy. They're not so simple. The outcome might not be so clear. We make choices all the time. Every day we are making choices. Now, our scripture today happens just before the Israelites are going to cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And if you've ever read that story, when they built the altar and they worshiped God at the Jordan River, and they stepped foot and the river separated, kind of like the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry ground. But Moses isn't giving them an impossible command. The command is a no-brainer. He even says that in verse 11. This command I give you today is not too difficult for you, and it's not beyond your reach. So it's possible to make this choice that he's asking the Israelites to make. It's simple. It's a no-brainer. It's a Staples button. That was easy. But here's the choice. Now listen, as he says. Today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, prosperity and disaster. Let's see. Life and prosperity, death and disaster. I think I'll choose life. That's, you know, I don't know. Well, there's people out there that choose death and disaster. But I think they make that choice out of ignorance. But the choice that we make, when we choose life, when we choose prosperity, we make that choice with our eyes wide open. I mean, we say, yes, I'm going to do this. Everyone here has heard the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, in one form or another. At least I hope you have. If you hadn't, you're going to hear it. The fact that Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to leave a place of perfection, a place where there's no pain, no sorrow, no hunger, no thirst, these things that we face every day, he left a place to experience those, to experience temptation, to experience betrayal, to experience one of the worst beatings or whippings that anyone on this earth has ever received. If you've ever seen the Passion of the Christ and seen the visual image, even that does not do it justice. It was worse than that. I won't get into the gory details. But the fact that Jesus was willing to go through that, the fact that he was willing to be hung on a cross, having nails driven right here, and not small ones, they're probably at least the width of my thumb, driven to a point where he could not exhale, he could not get the air out of his lungs, and he died for us. But the good news, of course, we know the good news that because of the power of God, he came to life again on Easter Sunday. And we celebrate that. Or Resurrection Sunday. I have a friend that doesn't call it Easter Sunday. He calls it Resurrection Sunday. And we are a resurrection people. So, each one of us has come to a fork in the road in our lives. It was time for us to make a choice, and life or death. My choice came many years ago, before I even came to Longmeadow. It was back in 1983. For you young people, yes, there was. I am an old guy. I was born in 1960. I'm not as old as Marvin. I can pick on Marvin. Marvin and I go, we have coffee at my house almost every Monday night and watch the crazy kids go up and down the road and the cars run through the intersection. But we've been doing that for 20 years, Marvin. About 20 years we've been doing that. But back in that day when I was without God in my life, I was self-destructive, I'll put it that way. I had run through alcohol, I had run through depression, and it's kind of, it always interests me and fascinates me the fact that people that are depressed will drink a depressant to get over their depression. Makes no sense. I had thought about taking my life because I was without God and I was in pain. But praise God, he came to me in a bar at 2 a.m. on a Sunday morning and put the thought of, why don't you go to church? And I did. And the rest of the story. But if I did not choose life at that point, I may be one of those stories, those tragic stories of someone who could not take it anymore. I may not be here. I definitely wouldn't be here. But the choice that I made was not done lightly. The choice that I made, I had to decide that my life wasn't mine anymore. You see, in Colossians 3:3, Paul writes this, For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, when we make that choice for life, we say, my life is no longer my own. It's not fire insurance. It's not making a decision. Oh, I don't want to go to the other place. No, the choice is, I want to serve God. I want to accept that free gift that He has given me, that act of love. And when we do that, our real life is hidden. It's hidden with Christ. Now, I did a sermon one time and talked about that word hidden. And the Greek word, the Greeks would bury or bury, depending on what part of the line you are. Either southern Pennsylvania or northern Maryland, I grew up saying bury. When you're put into the ground, they said you're hidden in the earth. I've done more funerals than I care to count. And when the casket is lowered, the vault cover is put on top. And they take the dirt and cover it up. And then a little bit later on, you know, there's grass seed planted. And next thing you know, it looks like all the rest of the cemetery, except for a marker, a headstone. That person is hidden in the earth. You can't see that person anymore. You only see the earth. We are hidden in Christ. Therefore, our lives are hidden in Christ. So they don't see us. People should not see us. They should see only Christ. Think about that. Think about our lives. They only see Christ. It's our new life. It's not what we were. It's something different. So we are hidden in Christ. Our lives reflect Jesus. In this new life that we possess, it is new life. It's different. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. The old life is gone. My old life had disappeared. No more drinking. No more depression. No more suicidal thoughts. No more thinking about just me. That life was different. 1 Timothy 6:19 tells us, by doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that they may experience true life. We experience what life really means, what is true. Does that mean we get away from all the hardships and all the junk that happens in this world? No. We're going to still experience pain and sorrow. But despite the pain and the sorrow, Jesus gives us the strength. Jesus fills our heart with the joy. He gives us the peace that we need. This new life that we experience is eternal. It never stops. When did my eternity start? The day I accepted Christ as my Savior. I don't have to wait till I die for my eternity to start. It started the day that I accepted Christ as my Savior. And your eternity starts the day when you accept Christ as your Savior. 1 John 5:11 tells us this, and this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. What a wonderful life. This choice that we have to make, it's an eternal life. We will never die. Yes, the body, the container, the vessel, whatever you want to call it, yeah, eventually it's going to die. You know, it gives you aches and pains. I was mowing my mother-in-law's lawn yesterday, and my shoulder hurts now. That's why you'll see me switch the iPad from one hand to the other. But we see that, you know, yeah, we have those aches and pains, and the older you get, even have another birthday and another birthday and another birthday and another birthday, you'll start feeling the pains, aches and pains. Just ask Mom and Dad. They'll tell you all about it. But Jesus is with us. Jesus gives us strength. Jesus gives us a life that is abundant. It's abundant. If we look, we can see that it is abundant. John 10:10, Jesus said this, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." A rich and satisfying life. That's what Jesus gives us. I work in a ministry called Valor Ministries, and I'm a personal coach and development coordinator. It's a long title. It barely fits on my business card. But my purpose and my duties is to, one, teach classes, two, to do this personal coaching. And in that personal coaching, we try to bring people from a place where they're in crisis. Now, we deal with people that are in poverty, that are homeless or near homelessness, and we try to let them know that there is a better life for them. We teach them things like simple things like money management and boundaries, these things that they need to know to help them thrive, because we tell them that God wants us to thrive. That is the life, that rich, abundant life that Jesus gives us. That's his intention for us. And we as Christians have to remember that. Too many times we as Christians sit around like we're the frozen chosen. We're lumps on a log. We're the knots in a pew. We don't have the joy in our hearts. The smile on our face. Of course, with masks, you can't see smiles anymore. But hey, eventually they're going to go away. They're not eternal. They're temporary. Joy that should come from us. The love that should be seen on our faces. When we choose this new life, the Holy Spirit is what gives it to us. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the new life. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you." Wow. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is in us. Those of us who made that choice. That choice for new life. That choice for the power of God over death, over sin. It lives in us. So no more are the excuses, "I can't do this." Because we have the Spirit of God living in us. And that Spirit gives us strength, power, and purpose over anything that this world can throw at us. And this new choice, this life that we choose, brings us into family. I don't know if you've ever experienced or know someone who has adopted a child. Down in Brownsville, there's a wonderful couple, Laura and Dominic. They adopted two children, not at the same time, different times, two babies. Great kids. The love for their parents is there. Dominic and Laura, the love that they show their kids is just the same as I see in a parent that has their own children, their naturally born children. We are adopted into God's family. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is actually our brother. Think about this. We are all brothers and sisters. I know that in the brethren tradition, it's Sister Linda, Brother Marvin, Brother Bud. You know, I don't use those terms all the time. I don't use those terms really, because I don't call my own brother Philip, Brother Brian, or my sister Bev. You know, I don't say, "Hey, Sister Bev." No, I just call it Bev. My generational thing. Even though I grew up in people in church calling each other brother and sister. But we are adopted into God's family. If you look around, we are one big happy family, right? You're happy, right? Okay, I'm just checking. Just checking. 1 John 5:1. This is great. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. So, the choice we make into the new life brings us into a new family. We have this big family, and we love each other, right? Does that mean we don't fight and argue and bicker? No. I grew up in a family of seven kids, or seven of us. We love each other, but believe me, there was a lot of bickering and arguing and fighting and all that fun stuff. This new life, it's a different life. This new life, as Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you must pick up your cross daily. You need to deny yourself. This life is not our own. We have to remember that. Romans 8, 5 and 6. Paul writes these words, "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit." So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Oh, here we go. We've got a choice, life and death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. There's that choice, life, death. Kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? So, are we going to allow sin run our lives? Or are we going to choose to put sin in its place? No power. No control. You can't say, "I can't help myself anymore. I just can't help myself." That's a favorite phrase for me, by the way. I joke with a lot of people and I say, "I just can't help myself," because it comes right off the top of my head. And anybody that's hung around me for any length of time understands that. But we who choose God choose life. We choose to put ourselves aside. Our destiny is to be with God forever. Now, after a little bit of a history lesson, after and I know Paul was really big in history. I hear all about it from Marvin. After they crossed the Jordan, after they defeated their enemies, and it was towards the end of Joshua's reign as their leader, they were getting ready to take over every area. And in Joshua 24, verses 14 to 15, this is what he told them. "So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols of your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, and then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live now? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. It is a choice. Do you want to choose life or do you want to choose death?" It's a simple choice. I'm bringing that choice before you today. Life, death. It's a daily choice. Jesus said to pick up your cross daily. Deny yourself daily. Who will you choose this day? Who are you going to serve this day and the next day? Because today is the first day for the rest of your life, for eternity, forever. And we need to make those choices. Life or death, prosperity or destruction. I am going to do something. It's kind of neat, you know, how God works. I was wondering how my sermon was going to fit into the songs that were picked, whenever you guys pick them. And it's kind of neat that we end our closing hymn is, "Here I am, Lord." That's a choice. That is a choice. Here I am. Use me. Let me, you know, help me. I want to serve you. I want to reach out to others and meet their needs to show them your love. I know we're in the midst of a pandemic, and to have everybody come up to the altar would not serve the pandemic or be proper as far as the rules of our governor. But I want us to, as we're singing this song, this hymn, to make that choice in your heart. If you want to tell me about it afterwards, fine. If you're on Facebook, of course you won't hear the song. But if you want to make that choice, call the church. Get a hold of Paul. Let him know. I'm sure he would be happy to take your phone call. Call him about 2 a.m. That's the perfect time to call a pastor because you got him right where you want him. Just kidding. But as you stand, as we stand and sing this song, this hymn, "Here I am, Lord," let that be a song that comes from your heart. Amen.